Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, we are doing part two of our interview with Ken Page. And we take his concept of the core gift and we take it deeper into sexual core gifts. And let me tell you, this is an inspiring, heartfelt, just an amazing episode. And it gives you and your partner a framework to really look at yourselves in a totally vulnerable way and connect maybe deeper than you ever have before. So stay tuned.
Do you want to feel more emotionally and intimately connected with your partner? Then we have the tool that is exactly right for you. We have a program called Relationship Renovation at Home. And it is an amazing way for you and your partner to have a structured way weekly to work together.
Because we deserve awesomeness in our relationships.
Just go to our website, relationshiprenovation.com. At the top, there's a link to at-home program, and it will give you a free lesson if you want to just check it out and see if it's something that works for you and your partner. We know it will make a significant positive impact on your relationship.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And last week we had so much fun. It felt so warm and nice. And we got so much like valuable information that we were like, we have to do a second part.
We have to do a part two.
Yeah, absolutely. So we brought back Ken Page. I want to go ahead, Ken, and first give a little intro on you, if that's okay. Ken is a renowned psychotherapist. He's an author, and he's the founder of Deeper Dating, which is a groundbreaking approach to finding meaningful love. He's the host of the Deeper Dating podcast, and Ken blends a psychological insight with heart-centered wisdom to help individuals discover authentic intimacy and connection. I mean, and Ken is, he's renowned. I mean, he's a person who people, you know, really look to for advice. He's been featured in New York Times, Oprah Magazine, Psychology Today, and his book Deeper Dating is considered a go-to guide for those seeking lasting soulful relationships. So welcome once again, Ken.
Welcome, Ken. I just want to piggyback one thing because I know a lot of our listeners are in relationships or couples, but if you know someone who is single, like send them over to Ken's Way because his podcast is awesome. Deeper Dating Podcast. Okay, just had to do that shout out. Thank you, Ken. And welcome.
Thank you so much. And thanks. I'm so glad to be here. I had a great, great time with all of you, and I was thrilled to be able to come back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if you are coming to this episode and you don't know Ken, just because we want to really get into what we're talking about, because it's a fascinating topic. If you want to just like get him telling his story a little bit more, I'd just go back to the prior episode and I'd check out the very beginning because he delves in there. Is there anything, Ken, before we begin that you're just like, you know, you really want to throw out there first?
Let's see. I think something I have been thinking about and talking about with my clients recently is that fear is an okay part of sex. And that the running from the fear dimension of it actually can take away some of the beauty of it. So just want to make room for the fact that, you know, it's kind of, it can be scary to talk about. It can be scary to experience in the deepest levels of authenticity, but also joyful, amazing, and life-changing. So like sex is like an x-ray into our whole beings. So I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today.
Well, and I love that because the reason why we were compelled to, A, because we love you, but to have a part two is because you focused on core gifts, what makes us our unique selves, how we can bring that into ourselves and then into our relationship. And then when you talked about intimacy and like sexual core gifts, I'm like, oh, that's a whole new episode. But it's so important because, again, we see a lot of couples. And like you said, fear, people just freeze around intimacy, like frozen, don't know what to do with it. And so, yeah, just compelled to find what that core gifts around sexuality is and pick your beautiful expert brain even more.
Yeah. I think you're right that it would be good to start to say something about core gifts and what they are to kind of offer a context.
Absolutely. So let's start with that, Ken. Let's like set that framework for people because, I mean, I know once we get into core gifts of your sexual self, it's even like, you know, sort of farther behind the veil. So just giving people an idea once again of this concept of core gifts.
Right. Yeah, I'd love to do that. And I actually have a visual to go with it too. But first, let me just say kind of, I have been a psychotherapist for 40 years, and I think the richest insight in all these 40 years of work has been that the places where we have the most shame, the most embarrassment, the most timidity, the places where we fear we won't be appreciated are actually the places of our deepest gifts. Mm-hmm. And that there's this brave, brave intimacy adventure that heals our hearts and heals our life. And that is to discover what these core gifts are, understand how maybe the world hasn't made space for them, but discover the treasure of them. And I just think that that is the center of real self-love and the center of real intimacy, the very foundation. But it's so funny that we find our core gifts around the places where the most insecure and the most vulnerable. Yeah. The gold, the treasure has like a ring of fire around it.
I love that. And I love the term brave intimacy adventure. Because you're right. In order to like understand what that fire is, we have to be brave to be willing to go through it and see what it is and feel it and be okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that popped up for me when you were saying that was just like, you know, we go through much of our day with sort of our ego, our protective self, that thing that we sort of put out to the world to succeed, to survive. And then we want to come home and we want to be with our partner. We want to be able to get to those other softer parts. But it's like, it's just so hard, you know, like, you know, it's just such a hard thing to just make that shift and all of a sudden let go of that ego self.
Or if you're not in a relationship, like the idea of doing that with somebody else feels.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just want to say, before I show this picture, I just want to say one thing about that I think is so interesting. I was just thinking about this yesterday in a really different way. I'm excited by it. It's this. It's like, EJ, what you described about that softening. Like, we think we need to kind of be perfectly vulnerable, perfectly aware, perfectly authentic, but it's not true. And the minute you're in a space where you're sort of even beginning to soften or beginning to connect to your heart, beginning to have that like melty feeling of like you're really starting to connect with your heart. The minute that's even beginning, you are in a magic kind of zone. Mm. Your beauty is going to shine through to your partner so much more. And you're kind of in your power and in your beauty. You don't need to wait for that softening to complete. The minute you start feeling it, you are in your mojo. You are in your magic. So I think that's important for people to know. We don't have to get all the way there. The minute it starts to happen, you are already engaging with this very particular kind of power that you have, magnetism that you have.
Do you think you have to signal to your partner? Do you have to like let them know? Because like there could be times where you're doing it and your partner doesn't recognize it or they're distracted.
Totally.
Just going to wear a t-shirt that says I'm in my magic all the time.
Or like a light that I can just like click that you can see, hey, I'm in my magic zone.
Right. But it's a really important point, right? Because like if you're in that space and your partner doesn't see it, like you're in this space and you're like feeling this softening, this love, like you want to go deeper and your partner's washing the dishes or thinking about the budget, you know, and they're like in a kind of different space than that. It could feel bad because it's just you're like naked and your partner is dressed and that's kind of a weird place. So I think that, signaling is really important. And I know my husband is like a numbers guy and a tech guy and I'm like the emotions channel, like all feelings all the time. So we have to do this a lot. Like I have to say, this is like emotionally important to me. Do you mind if you don't wash the dishes? Could we sit down together? Or I just have to signal like, oh, this has like a lot of feeling attached to it. And then he might say, I want to finish this dish, you know, or finish this pot. But, you know, he knows that that's a time that I'm in my heart. But I've had to learn to do that because it's embarrassing. It could feel embarrassing.
Well, for me, it could pass. You know, it could be like by the time you finish washing the dishes, it might be gone. And so, I know. It might be like, I need you now. I need you to pay attention to this part of me now, because if you don't, it could seriously go away, and I don't know when it's going to pop up again. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know?
It's so true. It's so true.
Which is an interesting segue into sexuality, because I think, like, that's a thing with couples, especially sometimes, is like, it passes. You know, it's like, oh, I'm feeling this way. Oh, you're not. Okay, well, now I'm not, and you are, you know, and it's like,
keep missing each other.
Yeah, we miss each other. So
then we're like, why even share it?
Yeah.
We keep missing each other.
Why take the risk? Yeah.
Yeah, so true. And that's why I think it's really, really great to have practices that help you and your partner get in there together. Like Greg and I learned from a teacher, Grant Shepherd, this thing called the tantric hug, which is this like unbelievably beautiful practice. And so at the end of a day, when we're both like, you know, kind of stressed because of all of the stuff with our kids and our animals and our lives and our businesses, this brings us there together. So, okay. So I'm going to share an image here.
And we'll put this in the show notes so listeners can pop it up as well.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And if not, if you're out there, you can always pop over to YouTube as well and see Ken's face and see his
image.
Ken
does a good job of giving you the visual without actually having to look at it too.
Totally, totally. Yeah. So is it up?
It's up. We see it.
Okay, great. So this is like a really simple image of where your core gifts lie and your intimacy journey. And let me say, your life journey, the heart and soul of your very life journey, because intimacy healing is the same as life healing and soul healing, because intimacy is the very core of our being. So it's a really simple map. It's just, it's a target with three circles. That's it. And if you imagine that the closer you get in toward the center, the closer you're getting toward the pure essence of your humanity, yourself, your true authentic self, which I put there that that's like your, where your source of self lies. It's a deeply spiritual experience to really touch the beating heart of your humanity and hold it with compassion. So that inner circle is the gift zone. That's where you're in touch with your core gifts. And it's a place where you are feeling your feelings, what's going on in your body, in your heart, in your emotions, in your very being, and holding it with compassion. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, when you can really kind of feel what's going on in your heart and not judge it, not suppress it, not put it down, not tell yourself, I need to be different, but actually honor it. Like a parent would love their child when their child's, you know, doing whatever, little child, doing whatever. It's just a space where you feel your need and you accept it and you make room for it. You feel your passion, you feel your sensitivity, and you make room for it. You make room for you.
It's a cuddly self,
It's the cuddly self, but also there's grief that can be here, and there's fierce truth-telling, and there's power, and there's artistic expression that might scare people and might scare you. It's loving and it's beautiful, but it's also fierce. This is the place where your most authentic self lies, so it's nuclear.
Can you just take a medication to get to it? I'm just kidding, Ken.
Yes, I think so. Like, I think people, you know, who use psychedelics do that. But, you know, I think alcohol can do that and drugs, but they do it in a way that it's not the same as really getting there. And it engages when you use drugs. You're getting me started on that. I won't go into it too much, but like, you know, it you engage regressive tendencies inside yourself that like you become a less mature version of yourself. So
it's a low ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's an amazing place. It's an amazing place. And sex is one of the places where we get to live that. But in all of my work, I teach you how to discover your core gifts. And the simple way to do that is to notice the things that hurt your heart and fill your heart. The things that make you feel connected to yourself and the things that don't. And think, what might be my gifts here? You can also ask yourself, what are the qualities in me that my partner loves and treasures? Because that's where my core gifts are shining. But like I said, it's scary and it's hard to live in our gift zone. So we move out to the second zone, which is the zone of protection.
Right.
And the third zone is the zone of disconnection. That's where you are, like, you protect yourself by being so distant from your core that you're kind of cold and empty, but you're protected. The more out you go, the more protected you are, the less authentic you are, the safer you feel, and the emptier you feel, and the less warm you feel. So those are the different zones. And, you know, we need the zone of protection because nobody can bear to live in the gift zone all the time, except maybe an enlightened being. Sometimes we need the zone of disconnection too, if things are really hard.
Too much.
Yeah, just too much. But the task of growing as a human being in intimacy is to learn drop by drop to live in the power and the beauty and the humanity of our gift zone and to build the skills to be able to do that.
Yeah. I love that. Build the skills to be able to do that because so many people think that there's something wrong with them because they don't know how to get there, but it is skills based. We're not taught this.
And I feel like that's one of the things that I love the most about your work is that's like what you do. You normalize how hard it is to live in the gift zone. And then you teach skills. That's what I love about your work. And then you get vulnerable and you talk about how it's a struggle for you. So,
yeah.
I mean, I just love that. And I think it's so important.
Yeah, I think, and I think it's just like, it is, it's a big part of our work with couples in that it's like reestablishing, it's like almost like getting to know your partner again for the first time, rediscovering their soft spots, their struggles, their strengths, why they have them, right? And that's why sometimes, and even maybe even often, the sexual component kind of gets kickstarted organically in just creating emotional safety, emotional intimacy, right?
Yes.
It would be great if that always happens.
Yeah.
But that's why it's, I think it's so important what we're delving in today is that sometimes it doesn't just organically happen. And you have to really make an intentional effort to cultivate your sexual relationship with your partner.
Yes.
And it'd be nice to take this exact same concept of what are those, you know, things that hurt your heart, that fill your heart. Taking those things into the sexual realm, I think is people need help with.
Absolutely.
To me, with a lot of couples I've worked at, they're exploring their sexuality with another person for the first time just for themselves.
Right.
So it's like there's not even a rediscovery. It's like a discovery in a different way.
Well, certainly in an intentional way. Like
yes.
The sexual connection for most of the couples was completely organic at the beginning, fueled by just the excitement of being together, maybe a little bit of alcohol mixed in there. And now they're trying to have adult sex for the first time. And they've never done it.
Yes, so true.
All right, how do we do it, Ken? We need to know. Quickly.
Okay.
Before it's Friday night. Right.
Well, there's just so much in what you just said, really. And I think one of the key principles here is that the stuff that you're afraid of and shy about and timid about is what's covering your magic. It's just like in those Indiana Jones movies where like the closer you get to the center of the temple where that whatever it is thing is, the more the guards come up.
Yeah.
I just want to normalize that it's a little scary to do this work. And sometimes it's a lot scary. But the research shows that when you enter a place that's a little scary and you get met by your partner, that increases Eros in the most absolutely amazing way. That little bit of the fear of being that real and then being met and seen is just spectacularly good for sex. So I just wanted to say that first.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. And I think it's true in intimacy. It's true in sex. But so in my work, in my book, in my course, and also in my intensives, which are these 6-month long journeys that I take, the main focus is on core gifts. And one section of that work is discovering your sexual core gifts. And so I just want to guide us through that process. And we're going to actually reveal our own experiences with some of this too. We agreed on this beforehand.
Sure.
I'm not just flinging them into that.
Dun, dun, dun.
So the questions that help us discover our sexual core gifts, there are three questions, and they're all really powerful, and they come in this order. The first is, what makes you feel safe in sex? And, you know, that's like a subtle thing. I mean, the obvious thing is that there needs to be consent. Mm-hmm. There needs to be true consent. That's like an obvious sexual safety issue. But then there are subtler ones too. Like, certain kind of sex could be traumatizing for people or yeah. bring up bad memories. And then there needs to be space for, what do I need now in our interaction if all of a sudden I get afraid or I get re-traumatized or I'm remembering something that just doesn't feel too good or I'm worried that mm-hmm. something you said earlier on today makes me feel like maybe you don't love me anymore or maybe you're thinking of leaving me or whatever the fears are. And ways of being touched, for example, for somebody, a kind of like fast-paced sex might feel like the height of connectedness. Mm-hmm. But for their partner, it could feel scary.
Yep.
So there's rich, rich questionings about what makes you feel safe in sex. And, you know, obviously there are no universal answers. It's for you to discover and then be able to tell your partner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's question one. So for me, jumping into it really, really quickly is usually going to scare me a little bit. Like, that's not my thing. There needs to be a kind of gradual process. So that's one thing that's really important. For me, doing this tantric hug, which I'm going to teach you, makes me feel wildly, wildly safe, like incredibly safe. It's like the perfect introduction to sex. If sex starts getting, like when we move into that kind of like more animalistic kind of sex, a friend of mine calls it collision sex. That's a place where I can get afraid and I need to reconnect. For me, I keep needing to reconnect with myself mm-hmm. in sex. I need to kind of remember where I am. I need to feel my body. I need to like reconnect with myself, or I start getting disconnected and feeling afraid. Another thing that is important for me is like, it's a kind of rocking motion of moving forward sexually with my husband, but then pulling back and kind of like finding my rhythm again, gaining my connection again, and then moving forward with great enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that I need to be able to do or I don't feel safe. I totally need to feel that Greg loves me. I need to feel that. I need to feel that even in like intense sex, I need to like be able to look at his eyes and see he is like filled with love for me.
Yeah.
Those are things that make me feel safe. That's my first run through, I guess,
right.
about things that make
no,
me feel
that
safe.
Was beautiful.
Who's next?
For me, I actually feel the same way. Like if it's rushed in or unexpected, I get very anxious and it's not good for me. And so I feel yeah. like for me, safety is about presence, that like EJ's present and he's attuned and receptive to where I'm at in that moment. And so like I know that it'll be okay, that if I have to share something or a level of anxiety, that he'll be like, I got you, and he's receptive and he's present and attuned. Yeah, that's my safety.
Oh, that's so fabulous. That's great.
My safety is, I think, like, I related to your sort of that rocking of, like, that the, you move forward and then you move back and you're followed, like, that like, responsiveness. Like, that when there's, like, touch, that there's, like, a response and a presence to it. You know, that it feels like there's like a cohesion, or there's like that there's a dance, that it's, you know, there's like cause and reaction, because then it feels safe to continue to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that has to do with also like the dynamic of initiation, you know, that knowing that if you initiate, that there's some sort of response that says, this is okay. Like that's, and I think it's also to what you said around consent, that there's some sort of like nonverbal consent, you know, that it feels like that feels nice. I touched you. I like that. You know, that feels safe. 'Cause then it feels like then I can move more freely if I know that you feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
If I know that you're moving in this dance with me,
yeah,
then it's like okay, it's safe to be free here and to move, you know, unencumbered.
Love that.
That's great.
I feel like each of these questions could actually have their own podcast, but I'll stop. I love that first question. What makes you feel safe sexually? And everyone's going to be different, but being able to just share that with yourself and with your partner and even think about what that means and what safety means. I mean, we can go into it then with so much more intention because now I know, like EJ's never said that out loud. Yet we've been, look at all the work we do with intimacy, with, you know, our couples, ourselves. So like, I love that I know that about you, that.
Yeah. There's so much in that. And, just a couple of thoughts, like before we move on to the next one, is that, you know, EJ, the thing that you brought out about that when you initiate, that it will be received, which of course it won't always, like your partner won't always want what you want, but in some essential way, that is a feeling of safety, that's true. And I guess the thing about that also is the feeling like you're, I think that's a big thing about safety, is like feeling wanted, like wanted and loved 100%. Sexually and emotionally by your partner. That's such a, I think that's like one of the great gifts of sex that bonds us, is like, oh yeah, you know, that's all still there. Mm-hmm. I am wanted. I want. Yeah.
Another word that like jumped out to me was like, and I think wanted is more, it hits it more, because I thought like at first like invited. But it's not necessarily about invited, because especially when you're the individual who initiates more often, it's knowing that you're welcome to come in. You know, it's like, okay, like, yeah, you're wanted here. You're wanted in this way because it's unique. You know, it's the thing we talk to couples about. It's like we hold fidelity at such a high place in general, you know, in relationship. And so it's like the one place we go with our partner, that we go with no one else once we've made that agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And to not know you're wanted in that place, which is supposed to be that one unique place you have, is it really hurts people.
Devastating.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. Wow. That was so well stated. And sad and poignant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I'm ready for question number two, I think.
Are you?
Question number two. Question number two is, what makes you feel moved in sex? Like emotionally moved? Like that place where like you might feel like a bursting of love, or a bursting feeling of peace, or a sense of deep quietness, or maybe you want to cry, or you feel like such a like childlike enthusiasm. So many different possibilities for how you might feel moved in sex. But what things make you feel moved in sex? And I just want to say too, these are not just questions for a richer sex life, although they certainly are that.
Mm-hmm.
They're questions to figure out what are your core gifts.
Right.
Because what each one of us said about what makes us feel safe speaks to very deep.
Tara and I are going to take a pause right now in our conversation to share some important information about some things we're doing here at Relationship Renovation. We are launching a private coaching program where we're going to take on 8 couples and we're going to work directly with the two of you. It's Tara and I together. We're going to be meeting with you for sessions. We're going to work through the relationship renovation model. And there's a few other ways in which we're going to work with you that I think are going to be like super effective.
So get ready for the we transformation. We can handle this. We can communicate with compassion even through difficult times, and we can feel more deeply, intimately connected.
So if you're interested, all you got to do is reach out to us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. We'll schedule a 30-minute discovery call. We'll hear about what's going on for you guys. We'll tell you about how we're going to work with you. Again, we're only taking 8 couples, so reach out to us, coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, as soon as possible.
We really cannot wait to begin this journey with you.
Parts of our being and who we are. Mm-hmm. And the same with this question now, like what moves you in sex? You could think like when you answer that, you could think, well, what are the core gifts here? So maybe we'll even do a little bit with that too.
Ooh, I love it. Okay, who's going to go first?
Do you want to go first this
time?
I'll go first. All right.
What moves me? I the number one thing, and I can remember this from like really early on dating to now, is just that it's like a spiritual love connection. Mm-hmm. Like even if I'm feeling like my worst self, or I'm like 8 months pregnant with twins or whatever my body has been through over, like there's this unspoken, can't touch, deep spiritual emotional connection that happens during intimacy that I'm like, and you just feel so close and connected. I can't like describe it, but it's, that's what moves me, that connection, that deeper connection to EJ.
That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
I remember even having that like in your parents' living room.
Oh, my goodness.
The first time we went.
Hey now, Mom.
We went there to Yuma and I was like, EJ, your parents are asleep. Let's go have sex in like the living room just because we can. And this is where you grew up. And I remember just like even in the living room, we're just trying to be like naughty. Just that like it was just such a deep connection emotionally, because I felt so emotionally safe with him. It was different from other things. I don't know. I'll stop talking now. But yeah, that's what it is for me. That's what moves me.
That's very beautiful. Spiritual.
That was beautiful.
Oh, thanks, you guys.
Yeah. What were the words you used? That unspoken deep touch.
Yeah.
So then I would just ask you to think for a moment of how that spiritual state is a part of your being, how it matters to you, how it's central to you, how it's a part of your soul, your heart, your being, how it's like an x-ray into the essence of you.
And it's everything, right? Like if you know anyone around me or in my little bubble, like connection and feeling deeply, genuinely, honestly connected with all that are in my life, with all my heart. That's what moves me. That's what craves me. That's what where my creation comes from, my creativity and my passion. It's all about that type of connection with others.
There's like an almost endless quality to that. That's not like a container that can hold 3 quarts. There's like, you know, there's a connection to something, you know, that's very vast. Mm-hmm. There. It's like an umbilical cord connecting you to something very profound, very deep, very huge.
When I can see like how it feeds into like the greater core gift with Tara, because she's so like, you know, that spirit of deep, heartfelt, exuberant love. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like in your like moments where you're unencumbered.
My mojo, as Ken would say.
Yeah, it is like this like just like radiant love of like whether it's a 11-year-old at a sleepover.
Yeah.
Quality care for a client.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I would have never like, I mean, I love that that moves me with you intimately, but I love to be able to take that back to my core gifts of what they are, because it just makes it feel like the puzzle's all together there, you know? That it's not separate.
Oh, yeah. That. Do you know that story about like heaven and hell and the food?
No.
No.
This really captures something here about core gifts. It's so this person was like visited by an angel and said to the angel, I'd like to see what heaven looks like and what hell looks like. This does not mean we have to believe in heaven and eternal hell, but you know. So he asked for a vision of that. And so hell was this giant, gorgeous, unbelievable feast of food. And everybody had these like forks strapped to their arms that were really long. They were so long that they could never get the fork to their mouth. So they were all there with all this food and they were starving to death. And then the image of heaven was the same image, but people would feed each other. And that was heaven. And that really relates to core gifts, because the fork's not going to fit in our own mouth for us to see our core gifts. Mm. We have to instruct the people we love in it by sharing how we experience their core gifts, for them to be able to eat that and take that in and be nourished by that, which is what you both did together, what you just did, EJ.
Oh, I love that. I love that visual too. That's so true.
Yeah, I love it. It reminds me a little bit of the Buddhists with the hungry ghosts, of like the big bellies and the thin necks. But I love that it has the flip of the heaven and hell of okay, what's the alternative? Like if you're
right,
if you see all that could be and what would be nourishing, but you can't have it. This is what that would be like. But then the flip, I love that, is the flip is relationship, right?
Yeah.
Is connection.
Vulnerability.
Yeah. And sex, right? Because if you can't have that kind of like loving, connected sex, you're at that banquet table, but you're not able to eat. Like you don't food.
That's what you see with couples, right? Where one person is like longs for the person, is sexually attracted to the other person, but like just lays in bed next to them or watches them walk into the shower and is just like, there's what could be, there's what I want to connect with, but I cannot.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's super sad.
It is super sad. Yeah. But so how about you, EJ? What moves you?
What came to mind for me is that deep, like, it's like the deepest of hug you can possibly have when you're being intimate, when we're together, when we're being intimate and we're embraced. Like that is moving, because it feels like the deepest emotional, physical connection I could possibly have.
Like the closest.
It's just the closest I could possibly be to you.
Yeah.
And you're the person that I want to be close to more than anyone else, you know? And
it's like there's no more squishing. We are squished to the max.
Yeah. And then like how it's, I guess, sort of like kind of doing a little bit you do, like how it relates to deeper core gifts is that like I spend so much of my time like sort of creating space between myself and others.
Hmm. That's your core gift?
Well, no. The core gift, though, is when I allow and choose to get close to people. That's why I love being a therapist, because there's something safe for me in that connection to people. You know, something about being a therapist allows for that like closeness, but it's like safe enough. But my core gift that I struggle with people like you and my person I love more than else, and probably my family and probably friends, is I have a hard time getting to that core gift of really being deeply connected together, close to people. Like when I do it, I think people really enjoy it and they like it and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a, it's a vulnerable thing. It's back to, you know, what Ken said at the beginning is like those core gifts are not necessarily comfortable places to go. And so that's why sexually, I think I really love that closeness, you know, with you.
Yeah, I know. I love that.
Because it's like the closest I can possibly be.
Yeah.
It moves me.
You guys are amazing. You really are amazing. Can I just share some thoughts on what you said?
Sure.
So one thing is, an amazing thing about core gifts is that our deepest immaturities, insecurities, and wounds surround those gifts. Because they're like the nerve center of our very being. Like the formula is this: within every pattern of defensiveness lies a wound. Within every wound lies the gift that's been wounded. And within every gift lies a portal to the very core of our being. So I feel like you just kind of captured that journey.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would also just like say, EJ, about what you said is that it sounded to me, and tell me if this is true, that one of the things that's moving to you is the feeling of that invitation that these parts of you are welcome, are safe, that like that invitation piece is very important to you, but is also a core gift, because your capacity to be in that dance of being seen and wanted and giving the same back is a place where like there's a deep quality of connectedness in you, but both parts need to be there for you or it hurts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I've always had to pursue like everything in my life. I think I've always had to pursue. And so that being invited, you know, and it's like I get like a little lost in it because it's just always been confusing. Because the people I do get close with, they always like, you know, and other people like feel connected to me, but then I don't feel connected. And so it's just a weird thing. And it's just like, yeah, I keep coming back to, I said invited, but you said, what was it?
Wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's what you're saying, right? That for you, that core gift is like, you want to be wanted, but it's hard for you to be on the flip side of it because of your protectors.
But it's such a rich point. And I think that people always think that their core gifts need to be strengths and capacities, but need is a core gift. And to me, you know, we're talking now about how your want is a core gift of yours. That very want is a core gift.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I got to wrap my head around
that.
Yeah,
we do.
I think that's and that's, you know, it's interesting because there's so, people's, again, back to this, like your core gift is so vulnerable. Like that feels like so, like a treacherous place to be. Like you could slip over the cliff, you know, you could be rejected in that place. Like, you know, like Tara, I want to be so close to you in all these different ways, but it's like, it's a scary place to go. Cause you can just be like, no, I'm not
in the ring of fire.
I don't want that. But you don't want that. Right. You know, and that's the give and take of sex is like, what if I want to be close with you in this way and you don't want to?
Right.
And not only just like in a isolated moment, but what if my partner doesn't want me for a long time? You know, and that's what couples deal with is to not be wanted for months, years.
Mm. Right. Yeah. There's so much, so much in this and what we're talking about. Yeah. I'll go next.
All right. We'd
love I'll go next. Briefly, I'll go briefly because I know time is ticking. One thing that moves me is being in the sexual experience and seeing joy in my husband's face, like this like loving, joyful, childlike look where I just, because I always worry about not being loved. Like, you know, the night before our wedding, I said, Greg, I need to talk to you. We went to the beach and I said, we're getting married tomorrow. But I have to share with you, there's a part of me that still can't believe that you really love me. And even can't believe that I love you. And I just need to make room. I love you so much. But there is this part of me that can't believe this. And so for me, that's something really moving is just seeing that beaming from his face. That's one thing that moves me. And then another thing that moves me is that combination of like intense sexual enthusiasm combined with like tons of love. Those are two things.
Yeah, it's passion and love.
Right.
And playfulness.
Because I think, and so much of the images that we take in are of passion or intensity, but not love.
Lust.
You know, you see how much we're, even if it's like just, you know, like R-rated movie, but never mind pornography. It's all of the passion and intensity and none of the love.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I saw this movie once. I don't remember the name of it. It was a French movie, but there was this one line where somebody said to her boyfriend, she said, the thing I love about you is you're like the same person before sex, during sex, and after sex. Like you don't become like this other person. I just really, really enjoyed that.
I do like that.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
Let's go. We're not going to answer the third question, but we're going to throw it out there because it's a good one.
Throw it out there. Yeah. Yeah. So the third question is, what really turns you on? What gets you really excited? Mm-hmm. And that is a question that is a very liberating question to ask yourself because it's very quirky for all of us. It's combinations of different ways of being touched and of pacing and of activities and of memories and of like scratch the itch turn-ons and, you know, fantasies. Anyway,
Yeah.
It's really liberating to know what's also really exciting. But you don't want to get to that and be acting that out, because you could do that endlessly. Mm. And it's very transactional.
Yeah.
Not everybody could do it endlessly, but one could do it endlessly. It's very transactional. But when you've got the safety piece, when you've got the moving piece,
yeah.
and then you've got this too, that's like so great.
It's like the cherry on top. The yummiest cherry on top to the, all the other stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of see it as also as like, it's like the final piece, but it feels like a lot of people just go to question three.
Yeah.
They spend their right. sexual life in three, and they skip what feel, makes you feel safe. Mm. Moved is such a great choice of word.
Yeah.
You know, it's not turned on. It's like what moves you.
Yeah, it's like an energetic
and so it's
soul
like,
movement.
Yeah, it's like, man, if you lock in that one and two with your partner and then you hit the three, it's like,
yes.
I could just be like, yeah, it's just like it all comes together and the beam of light goes to the heavens. And watch out. Good time.
I'm feeding you the best food with my fork, baby.
Ambrosia, right? There you go. Wow. That is really good stuff, Ken.
It really is. And I mean, I guess, you know, my question is, like, where do you even start with a client, you know? Like, you start with the core gifts and then you – because you said it's one of the subsets in your intensives, right? It's just one piece
right.
of it. And is that usually, like, the latter piece, kind of, like, more towards the end?
Oh, yeah, that's towards the end. That's very much toward the end.
Yeah, that very much parallels what we do in our – modeling too, like our intimacy series is towards the end because we have to have that emotional safety built to even go there. So it feels like that, because I would want to understand all of my core gifts first and then be able to have more self-love, compassion to then open up that sexuality piece. But, and with, I have a history of massive sexual trauma and not everybody has sexual trauma, but for me, it's more profound that I'd have to have so much safety to even enter that part of it. And I'm just wondering too, if you found that when you do work with like clients who do have sexual trauma, if that feels pretty relevant, what I just said.
Oh, so much so, yeah. so much so. And even taking it a step further, the first, like in the intensive, we spent 3 months of the 6 months just working on core gifts because they're so counterintuitive that you find them in the places you're the most embarrassed and you find them in the places where you think you're too much or you're not enough. Like, but what an amazing thing. Like,
yeah.
I just got to say something about this. Here's an image of this, like a story. So the story is that you're young. And those parts of you get shamed or hurt or traumatized. And so you decide the only way you're going to make it in the world is to leave them behind and venture out into the world because those parts will get you destroyed. Mm-hmm. Those parts are too naive. They're too wounded. They're too broken. They're too hurt. They get taken advantage of. They get stepped on. Like, no, not those parts. And we walk out into the world. And we might have like a lot of success, but there's like a bungee cord attached to us. Like there's a cord. And at a certain point, it stops. And usually it stops in our intimate relationship. Mm-hmm. And the cord stops stretching. And we can't go any further without those parts of us. So we have to go yeah. back and claim those parts. So after sexual trauma, we have to be able to hold those parts and then find out what they need and what they want to be able to feel safe.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of bravery. It takes a great partner, probably takes a great therapist.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tara, you model that. You talk about stuff really easily about what you need and what feels right, what feels safe. You do it really easily, but I'm imagining it's years and years of work to be able to get to that kind of easiness that you
yeah.
can talk about.
Well, and continued work. Like I'll never stop because it's always something, but I feel like the more I can model that and gain freedom in all parts of my life, then people have hope. Because I have hope,
yeah.
you know, like I never gave that up. I could have, but I didn't.
So true.
And so that's like, that's my passion. It's like, yes, I want to be totally free and feel joy and playfulness. And I never got to do any of that. Sorry.
It's okay, baby.
Sorry, Ken.
No. I thank you so much. And it brings me back to that beautiful story of the playfulness in EJ's parents' living room. Like, yeah. You got to be playful there.
Yeah, but that's where it took like coronas, you know.
Oh.
It's like trying to do all of that without it is, it's like you said, a brave intimacy adventure. But it's like without all the medicators to make it feel less scary. So, yeah.
You're amazing.
Thank you.
You both are amazing.
It takes a lot of, it's like a maturity, I think, though, that like we both had to come to.
Well, but I think what really got me, Ken, from was the bungee cord piece. Because I rocked it. And then you just don't know consciously in your life where you get stuck until triggers happen. And then it's like, oh, like I thought I was doing so well. I had no idea that existed. I thought I like rocked through that puppy.
Yeah.
And so just knowing that it's so important to revisit all of those painful parts that we might have left behind because we thought they wouldn't be of service. Oh, but they're full of awesomeness, right? They're full of so much information. You just have to be willing to like be super uncomfortable and find a really good therapist to go there.
Yes. And it's so amazing that the place that made you cry, the thing that made you cry, which I think was connected, you said, to fun and joy.
Yeah.
Is the thing where you had this glorious experience with EJ in the living room. It's the same thing, like the wound and the gift are so connected.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Well, I mean, I just want to, for the sake of our listeners, go over those three questions one more time. They would just be wonderful questions for you and your partner to sit down and talk about, right? And the first is, what makes you feel safe? The second, what makes you feel emotionally moved? And then the fun one at the end, what really turns you on?
Yeah, those are the questions.
It's just a wonderful framework for couples to begin to talk in a really nuanced, loving, caring, emotionally safe way about that inner circle, you know, your core gifts as a sexual being.
Yeah.
And in my course and in my book, there's, you know, an entire section of exercises to help you discover your core gifts, your sexual core gifts, and of course, your other core gifts as well. It's a process. It's a model of a process that people can be brought through.
So tell us, Ken, like, you know, again, if someone is really resonating with your work, which seems like it's incredibly thoughtful, it's heart-centered, you create a very safe place. I mean, we can feel it.
Yeah.
Vice versa.
All the way from New York. That's where Ken is. Long Island.
Yeah. How can they connect with you?
Well, the simplest way is to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com. And all my podcast episodes are there. Or you could just go to deeperdatinggifts.com and then you'll get an ebook of 5 of the most important keys toward deeper intimacy. It's for everyone, not just single people. And then you'll be on my mailing list and you'll get to hear about everything. So I think that those are the simplest ways.
Would you mind just sharing the tantric hug?
I'd love to. Yeah. I'd love to. I love this hug. I love this process. And it's from Grant Shepherd, who is a tantric coach. And I think his website is consciouspathways.com, or maybe it's newconsciouspathways.com, but he taught this to me. And I think if you go there, you can get a copy of it, like a little mini training in it. But here's what it is. Okay, it's 3 parts. You can be naked, but you don't have to be naked. First, you do eye contact. You look at each other. And that's really sweet. That is really, 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 really nice. You just look at each other. You just show your love for each other. Then you touch foreheads. You touch like the, you know, that third eye chakra, like right the point between your eyebrows. You just touch there and you breathe in and out together for a while. Your breath might align it might not align. Don't worry if it doesn't align. If it does align, that's nice, but that's not essential.
Can I clarify one thing really quick? Am I touching my own forehead or am I touching EJ's forehead?
Oh, yeah, you're holding each other. Oh, I forgot. You hug. Then after you look at each other, you hug.
Okay, you hug each other and then...
Yeah.
Forehead to forehead.
Oh, forehead to forehead.
Forehead to forehead.
Oh, I got you. I'm sorry. I got you. Okay.
No. I didn't explain it clearly enough.
Eye contact, hug, forehead to forehead. Love it. Okay.
Okay. Then... you do like the lovebird thing. You know how like lovebirds wrap their necks around each other kind of?
Yes.
Like their heads go. Yeah. So your Adam's apple, your throat connecting to the throat of your partner, your throats are touching. I can't tell you how good this feels.
Aww.
And then you hold each other like that with your, like in that lovebird position with your necks, the center of your necks connected, and you breathe in and out together. Maybe your breath doesn't coordinate. That's okay. Maybe it does. That's great. So that's the second one. You stay there. You stay there for a while. And then the third one is you just do a regular hug, but like the center of your chest is touching. And then when you're done, you just hold hands and you look at each other for a minute or two more. And it just puts you right in that place.
Oh,
it's a really great process.
It feels so
lovely. We do
it
every morning.
Oh.
It's so loving. We do it every morning, unless we don't have time, but mostly every morning and every night. And you can do it lying down together too. And especially if there's a height difference between partners, that makes it easier, you know, to be able to do that. So lying down is gorgeous too, but you can do it standing up as well.
Oh, I love this. I feel like this needs to be a social media reel, like the 1, 2, 3 steps of a hug. We can attempt it and be like, courtesy of Ken Page. Here's our tantric style hug.
Well, thank you, Ken. This has been another, you know, back-to-back for our listeners. Just a very thoughtful, heartfelt episode. Mm. It's just wonderful to have someone out there who's making it simple. I mean, this doesn't feel like really complicated.
Yay, that's my goal.
Yeah.
Yes.
And everything we're talking about is what most of us are just craving.
And well, I feel like for me, what Ken's work, talking to him, the space you create, it's like that we all deserve this.
Mm.
We all deserve to like have freedom, feel free to be loved, to love the way we want to be and accepted. And that if we can understand ourselves, and then we can find someone that's receptive to that peace. Like we're so deserving of that. And I think we just all walk around with so much suffering and like we don't deserve and I'll never find that person. And it's not true, but it starts here, right? Within the individual. And then you radiate outwards because you know your light.
Well, if you can get there yourself, then you have a higher likelihood that you'll be able to connect with another person in that way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you are organized around honoring your gifts, your field will be different and you will be attracted to and attract people who are so much more likely to be able to really love you for who you are.
Yeah.
So whether you're single, whether you're with somebody, this work is incredibly important.
Yeah. And I just thank you, Ken, for the beautiful work you do, even with us here today. Like that safety you bring is inspiring. And 40 years of doing this work, like I can't even imagine how many people you have impacted and then the people around them that they've impacted, just that ripple effect. So thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And as always, take care of yourself. Look into those core gifts. And take care of each other. Bye-bye.
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 Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same.